It could be anything. I could be anywhere, you know. I could be in a cell right now.
You know, you could be in that same cell with Cascalante, you know?
Cascalante, they finally caught him. Current events, folks, we don't miss a beat.
We got him, Joe. We got him.
We got him.
We got
and they,
him.
And they, and only took about, what, 2 weeks?
Just about 2 weeks. Just about 2 weeks. You know, they got him, they stripped him, made sure the, you know, the right, that was the right anus, and they got him in there.
They got him in there. Now, he crab walked, ladies and gentlemen, out of the prison. It's important to note that at 5 feet tall, this man crab walked up some walls and got out of prison. I didn't think you could even escape prison like that in the 21st century, but apparently he just pointed over there. Everyone looked over there, and then he just crab walked out of there.
The great Kevin Garnett said it best. Anything is possible.
Anything is possible, isn't it?
If you believe.
If you believe.
I'm not going to get ass fucked every day. I have to leave.
I mean, what do you have to lose at that point?
Nothing. He had, I think, almost two life sentences, or maybe one life sentence.
He murdered his girlfriend.
Yeah. And he murdered somebody else.
He murdered somebody else. I thought he just murdered the girlfriend.
No, I think he has two bodies.
Not just murder. I didn't mean it like he only murdered his girlfriend. I didn't mean it like that was like, he only murdered his girlfriend. No, I just mean, I didn't realize he had two bodies. Count them, two.
Yep, two bodies.
Two hence bodies.
Life sentence and nothing to lose.
Nothing to lose, man. Right. My God. You know?
I mean, the only punishment he gets now is that he goes to a maximum prison.
Right.
The one that we don't work with, unfortunately.
No, we don't work at that one. He's not going to go to the Nebraska one either, where the women were calling in last episode and leaving voicemails.
Yes.
I missed having you on that one. That was a actually, I guess you were there in spirit because I played a voicemail from you too. But yeah, not to be confused with the women's penitentiary, or do they even call it that anymore? Do they even call them penitentiaries anymore?
Yeah, they're still called penitentiaries.
Okay. Yeah. By the way, inmates listening, if you are listening, give us a ring a ding a ding, or email the show, because we always want to hear what you guys have to say, or gals.
Let us know if you're a Cascalante's roommate.
Right.
Are you going to fuck him tonight?
Do you get much of a, I don't know, because I mean, I know in some prisons they can have listening days where they get to listen to stuff in the library, but I don't think they get to access like the internet. I think they can just like, do like audiobooks.
I don't think this is Shawshank Redemption. I don't think you've been watching a lot of A&E lately. These motherfuckers have iPods and cell phones. They listen to stuff every day.
But if you look up like the regulations, it's probably not like regulation. They just like smuggle them in.
Regulations, smegulations.
So they just smuggle them in?
Nope, they're there for them.
Oh, so like you think that there's actual like it's condoned by security in the prison itself?
No. You know, they get iPads.
They do not get iPads.
They do. They get iPads.
They acquire iPads?
Yes.
In a maximum security prison, they're allowed to go on the internet.
They get like an hour or so with the iPad and they give it to another person.
So that's where some of these prisoners are listening to our podcast. They get about an hour and they take that hour of freedom and devote it to our podcast. That's how many people like the podcast.
I mean, either you get your ass beat because you don't want to share the pad anymore, or, you know, you're going to have to get fucked.
You get fucked to share the pad.
No, you get fucked if you don't share the pad.
If you don't share the pad. Okay.
But if you don't share the pad, you're going to get beat. I mean, it's a win-win.
It's a win-win. It's a catch-22. It's a lose-lose. It's a who's who. It's a dirty knees. Look at these, you know?
Are you going to bark all day, little doggy, or are you going to bite?
Yeah, yeah.
There are several sacred things in this world that you don't ever mess with. One of them happens to be another man's fries. Now you remember that, and you'll live a long and healthy life.
Just us, the cameras, and those wonderful people out there in the dark.
Science fiction, the wave of the future.
I wonder where a guy, an everyday Joe like myself, could find a little action. Yeah.
Welcome to Comic-Con, a geek podcast for the rest of us. A
What are we talking about, Monomoto?
I mean, if you don't see these two lovely ladies behind me.
We're talking about the morning show. We're
definitely talking about the morning show with Jennifer Aniston.
And, and Reese Witherspoon.
And Reese Witherspoon.
Mm. It's worth it, huh? You're in season two.
I'm in season two and very much looking forward to this season three coming up this weekend, I believe.
This weekend?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, season three, I think this season two ended right in the middle of COVID, actually.
I didn't even know we were that far along. I thought like the show's first season came out during COVID. Wow, we're just moving along here.
Yeah, this Joker, I can't believe it is. This Joker started out in 2019.
You know what? You really do rep the shows on Apple Plus. I noticed that about you.
Like that Apple Plus.
You're an Apple Plus guy. I mean, Foundation, Morning Show,
And Severance. Oh my God, a lot of folks aren't on that Apple Plus. Quality shows.
I'm sleeping on it. I'm not aware.
I mean, they have a series coming out with your girl Brie pretty soon.
I saw that too. She's playing the scientist who has a cooking show.
Right, looks good.
Looks pretty good. I love that Brie. Who doesn't like a good slice of Brie?
Good slice of Brie.
Put it on some crackers and spread it thin.
Mm-hmm.
Take a little bite. You know.
What do we call this show?
What are?
I don't want to call it a versus because it's not a versus.
It's not a versus.
Like I said, I texted you and I said the inspiration came from the good guys at Bat in the Sun. What are they? They're a pop culture, you know, site, I guess. Not so much all the way comics, but they dabble in a little bit of everything, I think.
It's important to note that this production company made some of the very first like fan-made films before fan-made films was like a thing. Because I remember them making stuff in early 2000s. That was like blowing people's minds. They made that Batman versus Predator Aliens thing called Batman Dead End. But more recently with the fucking evolution of YouTube, they have all these like battle royale episodes where they get guys dressed up in real deal cosplay and choreograph these like fights. And I think folks will actually like now, I think folks like their fans and their listeners will actually like write in or email in and vote for who they think should win.
And these things are pretty legit too. Like the production on this shit is pretty legit. I feel like if they had just the extra 10 grand, I think we'll be seeing this shit in the movies.
Oh man. Like some of the shit looks better than some of the movies we got.
Right.
They did a Batman versus Darth Vader one time that was just insane.
Oh, that was crazy.
It was insane.
The fucker was holding Superman hostage. Like,
oh my God. He had to get him out of there.
If the studios can't figure out that's how you fucking make money at this point.
Right. At this point, why even bother with like you know, canon? At this point,
who needs canon?
Like, people wouldn't be lined up around the block to see Darth Vader fight Batman and Superman. You're telling me,
right there. No matter how much the ticket could be, $150,
$150. It's a 45-minute movie. You're paying.
I'm paying it.
Take my money.
I want to see it. And by the way, if you give me good actors in it too, I mean. If you bring back Christian Bale, Hayden Christensen, and Cavill, I'm all in one movie.
It's a wrap.
You got $1 billion right there.
Can you imagine? Like, can you really imagine? That would be insane.
Right.
So folks, if you haven't done this already, like go to YouTube, look up Bat in the Sun, Bat like Batman in the Sun. Check out their movies because they are like James is right. They're legit. They're legit.
That Wolverine versus Predator. That makes you think.
It makes you think. It really makes you think. So much to the point where I feel like they might have been the inspiration for the comic. Like there was a little 4-issue, 5-issue mini run where it's either out already or it's about to come out where Wolverine takes on Predator. And of course, the answer's simple, right? I mean, the answer's pretty simple, right?
How can an alien beat a guy that's constantly healing right. himself? You can't beat that.
And he doesn't need to see Predator. He can smell him. You know? Come on. You're on
and
his
I think
turn.
That's what I like about the Bat in the Sun series. It's like they actually take the time to, I guess, make the fight, like, make it sense. You know? It's not just the characters versus each other and their powers. Like, there's a reason why the Predator is losing right now. He's losing because Logan has healing ability. You see that. And then you see why the Predator can have an advantage at moments because obviously he's using his self-destruct sequence.
Right.
Yeah.
It makes sense within the context of the rules of their own universes.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to tell you, when you brought this up to me, I was like, man, we've never really done something like this. But you're right. I don't want to call
it. No, we haven't. I think what we have done matchups. And I think we've thrown matchups out there. But my thing is, with this, we can offer an explanation why you would think so-and-so would win.
I love it. And we're going across universes, folks.
No universe is untapped.
So are we saying this is more like a battle royale episode? Or are
not
we
a
saying...
battle royale. We have matchups. That's why I brought in Golden Boy Promotions.
Boy Promotions. Well, that's why I called myself Nicky Diamond on this episode, because I couldn't help but recall. Remember Celebrity Deathmatch? Remember how great that show was? Claymation and shit.
It was great.
It was so great. I'll never forget when Eddie Vedder took on Scott Stapp from Creed.
What kind of matchups did they have though? They had the good matchups, or was it just all musical?
It was a mix. It was like music, movies. It was celebrities. So it was like music, movies. I think they even did a Rambo one where like Stallone versus Arnold.
Yeah, I remember Rambo one.
So if you go to the internet and you look up like, you know, action hero matchups, you're going to get your Rambo. You're going to get your Terminator. You're going to get your RoboCop. We might get a little redundant with that, but I actually put it out to the kamikazes because I was like, look, give us your verses. Give us your challenges. Give us any universe you can think of. And so I figured I would just use, I didn't even have the time to make a list because I got bombarded with all these choices.
Okay.
I was like, we could spend a whole episode just talking about these honorable mentions.
How you want to do it? I have a quick list.
You got a quick list?
I got a quick list.
Well, let's go through your guy first.
So go through my guys first. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go ahead. Just bust it wide open. Okay.
Bust it wide open.
I said my matchup would be for a Bat in the Sun matchup. I'm going first with, I don't know if you're familiar with my man I'm about to say. I'm going with good old Saitama. I'm talking about One Punch Man.
Oh, shit.
Are you familiar with the One Punch Man?
I am loosely, vaguely, remotely familiar.
The bald guy with the yellow suit. He's the One Punch Man. Like, he's one punch and he's, whatever he punches is done.
So what happens when he punches? Like, they explode?
Whatever happens, he's destroying them with one punch.
Destroyed, decimated.
Right.
Okay, gotcha. One Punch Man.
One Punch Man versus the Carpenter from Nazareth.
Jesus Christ. I wonder how many people we're going to get on this one. I can't imagine we have that many holy rollers on this show. One could argue
the Son of God himself.
The Son of God himself. One could argue that this isn't that blasphemous. You know, one could argue that we're, you know, if anything, we're, you know, we're just we're rooting for our Lord and Savior here.
You said Jesus Christ.
No, I said Jesus Christ to Jesus Christ. Oh man. I mean, let's break it down. What can Jesus do? He can bring back the dead.
He can do everything.
He can pretty much do everything.
He's perfect.
I'm assuming, but I've never seen him like punch a guy and decimate a guy. But he has brought lepers back from the dead.
Right.
And he's
we're talking about he has the power of God.
The power of God. Okay.
The power of the heavens and all his glory in one hand.
But I never remember reading any Bible verse
where
he was smacking down, you know, because if anything, he might have overturned some money tables, you know, for the Pharisees.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, he went into town and turned over some tables. But I don't think I don't remember him slapping anybody around or, you know, he was a pacifist. So that he's already at a disadvantage.
Right. But the thing about the Saitama, he always wants to test his opponent, though.
Interesting.
So he wants to feel that power. First,
you might have me in an impasse here. You got a guy who can punch at anything and destroy it, and then you have a guy who can walk on water and make fish and wine. You know,
the guy went through crucifixion, so I would think one punch wouldn't hurt him.
He's got a high threshold for pain.
He got a high threshold.
You know, I mean, let's be honest. He's not taking any extra ibuprofens.
Oh no. And for all we know, we don't know if he can fly or not.
I'm assuming he can fly, right?
Right. And if anything, he can always ask God for wings. That's the thing.
Now we're getting into a whole new territory of like, why didn't Jesus, you know, really use some of that power?
Right. He held back.
He held all back. That power,
he held back.
It's like Clark Kent, you know, holding
right.
back.
Right.
You
know? All that power.
All that power.
Back. Right. Go with what your heart tells you to go with.
I got to say, I got to go with Jesus, man.
You gonna go with, I'm going to go with Jesus, too. There we go.
Because I mean, I get that One Punch Man is One Punch Man. I don't really know that much about One Punch Man. I see a visual in my head. I'm familiar with the lore, but I'm not immersed enough to be like, now if you throw if you throw Logan in there, then we might have a fighting chance because Logan can heal.
You talking about
with Jesus?
Oh, with Jesus. I mean, they both can heal.
They both can heal. That's true.
Right. But they both have healing factors.
But how quick was Jesus's healing factor? Let's be real.
I mean, you got to think about it, though.
It's probably instantaneous, though.
I mean, right after, you know, they took him out, he rose the next day. Come on
the
now.
The next day he rose, the boulder was gone.
The boulder.
They molded it out of the way.
Right.
Was it on the next day? I thought it was on the seventh day for some reason. I don't know.
I think that's when they made everything. That's when.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Yeah, I mean, you're basically talking about Lord incarnate, right? And if we really want to be nerds here.
Yeah. And then at the same time, you know, Jesus can always bring in the angels and all of Christianity to come.
He can, yeah, he can rapturize everything.
You know, just it's like him using the force to just control all the population to attack Sidon at once.
He's using all the midichlorians.
Remember how old boy was in Eternals?
Yes.
That's Jesus.
That's Jesus. I don't know where we can go from here.
Oh, it's a lot of this... places. So that was my first matchup. I got one more.
Give it to me.
Just to warm things up.
Well, I'm getting warmed up. Trust me. I'm getting okay. So warm.
All right. So my next Bat in the Sun matchup, I go with the Lord of the Thundercats. Lion-O versus Dar the Beastmaster.
That is a fantastic matchup. That is a fantastic matchup. You got a guy who's essentially a 16-year-old boy trapped in a strong man cat body, right? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Because if you don't know your lore, kids, just googs. Trust me. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when you travel through space as a cat mutant teenager, you age faster than some people if everyone else's cryogenic chambers aren't working properly. Mm-hmm. But the point is this. Take him, you pair him up against, what was this,
Mark Singer.
Mark Singer played Beastmaster.
Dar.
Dar. And he talked like that too.
Yeah. I am Dar.
I am Dar. We need to go back through that movie at some point, don't we? Yeah. That's a perfect movie for this cast. We brought it up. We brought it up a few times before. Actually, I don't know why.
We need to go through Beastmaster 2.
I'd prefer the sequel better.
I like the sequel too.
It's got more camp. It's got some fun. You get that hot girl in the convertible. She comes out of like Girl Out of Time, you know?
Yeah.
God, I'm just taking me back. He can talk to all the animals. He can essentially control the animals.
He can control the animals, yes.
Any animal. But Lion-O's got the Sword of Omens.
He has the Sword of Omens, but you got to think about it. Lion-O is a cat.
Lion-O is a fucking cat.
I mean, just think about it. You got Dar, they go head up with the swords because Dar has a badass sword too.
And let's be real, the Sword of Omens, while it might give him sight beyond sight on occasion, mm-hmm. realistically, he only ever used it to make it go doo, 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 and it get bigger and then call his friends.
Yeah. The Sword of Omens gets an erection and it calls other cats.
Right. And that's about it.
That's pretty much it.
So if he's not calling his friends, dun, 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 you know what I mean? Yeah. Then what are we doing? And you're right. Maybe Dar can control him.
Right. And then at the end, like I feel like Lion-O takes that advantage at some point because Lion-O is a He-Man, you know, cat man.
He's strong.
He's strong. He is definitely stronger than Dar.
You think, but Mark Singer had guns on him.
I mean, but have you saw the way they drew Lion-O?
I saw the way they drew him.
Motherfucker was jacked.
He was jacked, but Dar was don't sleep on Mark Singer's guns. He was oiled up and he put on some kilos for that role.
Lion-O had very nice quads.
So just strength on strength, you're thinking
strength
Lion-O.
On strength. I feel like Lion-O has him.
I think Dar would just use his Beastmaster powers on him and win.
I mean, and then at the end, Dar would use the Beastmaster mind control to control all the cats to attack Lionel at the end.
That would be his closing move.
Wile E. Kid, you know, tears off his ear. Chitara, you know, rips
sucks
off
him on the cock. Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry.
And Panther just rips his chest cavity open.
Rips it right open.
Right.
Right after he says it's all about family.
Right.
Because let's be real.
You say Dar says that?
No.
Oh, you say a Panther.
Panther, because let's be real.
Okay, Lionel. And then, well, you never know. And then Lionel could call, what's his name? Jaga.
Jaga. But Jaga never did anything. Jaga would just go, Lionel, I'll show you the way.
Jaga fought.
Did he?
Yeah, Jaga fought. I think he possessed a body.
He possessed a sword, I think, at one point.
Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, I feel like Dar wins that.
My money's on Dar, and that's probably blasphemy in some circles. And I am a huge Thundercats fan. Love Thundercats.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. You're right. He's a cat at the end of the day.
At the end of the day, he's a cat. They're all cats.
I think that's going to hurt him.
Right.
Going up against a guy who can speak with the animals.
Right.
It's like a plant man trying to fight Swamp Thing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like it's like Groot trying to fight Swamp Thing. Swamp Thing can just control Groot, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
By wrapping him up in the green or taking over him with the green. And Groot's just an alien that's made out of trees and can stretch.
Mm-hmm.
But Swamp Thing can tap into the green. Mm-hmm. You know? It's a wrap.
Yes.
You know? That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Those are great. Those are great. Well, the Kamikanzis gave us some, and you're going to love some. In fact, one Kamikaze in particular, and a freaking collaborator on the show, gave us about 4 or 5. But I'll try to start off as small as I can. At Turok 89, he says, Luke Skywalker versus Highlander.
Holy shit. Well, which Highlander? You got to tell me. I don't want to be involved in this if it's not Adrian Paul.
Well, you know, it's two-pronged. So he didn't say, and I'm wondering if he didn't say because there was that famous argument from many episodes ago where you and I got into it, where we couldn't settle on which one would win, Adrian Paul or Duncan MacLeod. Is it Connor? No. Is mine Connor? Yours is Duncan.
Yours is Connor.
Mine's Connor. Yours is Duncan. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm a Christopher Lambert guy. I wasn't a Highlander show guy. I'll be honest.
Lambert, yeah.
You were immersed in the show. No, there's no hate on that.
Adrian Paul raised me.
Adrian Paul raised you. Christopher Lambert and Mario Van Peebles raised me.
Okay.
So I say that because I had to throw Mario Van Peebles under the bus because I remember watching the first one as a kid, the second one as a kid, and then going to the theaters to watch the third one with Mario Van Peebles. And then the fourth one I never saw. I think it had Adrian Paul in it. I think that's when they... Yeah, okay. And it was like Endgame or something. I think it was called Endgame.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Highlander, he can wield a sword. Let's say Adrian Paul. Let's say either or, whether it's Adrian or Christopher Lambert. Yeah, they can wield a sword and they're immortal. But Luke's got the Force, right?
So what else do we give immortals then? So this is what Bad in the Sun does. Bad in the Sun brings out powers that the average person wouldn't know about their favorite characters. So if you take an immortal, what else does that immortal have? Like, obviously they have the healing factor.
They do have healing factors. Like you can cut them, dice them.
Yeah. It takes a minute.
It takes a long time. It's not a quick one. It's not a Logan.
It takes at least 24 hours.
Wasn't there a movie or an episode in the show where somebody would lose a limb and it would have to like, they'd have to like put it back on and let it attach like the next day? Or would it like slide over to them? Or am I thinking of Monster Squad when they blow up Wolfman and all his limbs go, you know, just fucking shoot back on his body? I don't know. Like, what else did he have? I think in the Quickening, he could do some cool shit. Like,
that's the only thing. If Duncan MacLeod can summon the Quickening,
that's what I'm saying.
Bend it to his will. I feel like Quickening.
Then we're onto something.
Can you know, match with the Force?
I feel like there's parts of the Highlander universe we haven't explored that could deal.
There
with
is a lot. Yeah, there is a lot. However, at the same time, Luke Skywalker has a lightsaber. He burns through the sword. Yes.
It would go through the sword, wouldn't it? Because I was thinking, like, Highlander's probably a better swordsman easily.
Yeah.
Because he's been fighting with swords for like hundreds of years.
All right.
You know, he's been alive for hundreds of years.
I mean, so let's just give it to him then. So let's give Highlander a lightsaber.
Let's give him a lightsaber. It's okay. A fucking done deal. Sorry, Luke. Yeah.
All right. So
you can have the Force all you want, but you're not.
Okay. So with the Force, Luke is agile. He can move a little bit better than
he can jump around.
I've never seen Duncan MacLeod do a lot of flips. He does flips.
He does some good flips. Remember, even Clancy Brown did some flips, and he was a big motherfucker.
He did some flips. So
and it was that slow mo.
They're agile too, but not as agile as a Jedi Knight.
Well, let's take a pause here. I think it's important to know too. Now we're really going full ham on this. They're not. Can we just pretend that they're not the Jedi's? Any Jedi's we talk about on this episode, we might talk about more, are not going to do that fucking Barry Allen run from Phantom Menace. Can we pretend that that's? Can we seal that off from this?
We're not saying they're Jedi's.
Well, they can be Jedi's, but
you just want a Force wielder.
Can we? I'm just saying we'll say it's Return of the Jedi, Luke, and not Qui-Gon Jinn, Obi-Wan, that shit on that ship where they were like running.
Mm-hmm. So you don't want that.
I don't want any of that. I felt like that was taking it way too far. I think George was just having a good time. Yeah, Return of the Jedi, Luke versus Highlander. It's going to be a close fight, but if you give Connor or Duncan a fucking lightsaber again, they've been fighting for hundreds of years, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say Luke really going to go for the head? Does he know to go for the head?
He doesn't know to go for the head.
He doesn't know. It's a wrap.
This is a new adversary he's come upon in space. They're not fighting on Earth or anything.
Right, right.
They're fighting on a ship. We don't know how the fuck Duncan MacLeod got on the ship.
We have no idea how he got there.
But he got on it.
It's with a good trench coat. It's a good one. What's your pick? Who's winning?
With the trench coat. Fuck it. I go with Duncan MacLeod.
Go with Duncan MacLeod. Adrian Paul.
Adrian Paul.
With or without the ponytail?
Definitely with ponytail.
Is Queen playing in the background?
Yes.
I am immortal. I have inside me blood of kings. Oh my God. So good.
Highlander wins.
Highlander wins. Piggybacking off of that, at Meet J. Clark, he says Conan versus Highlander.
Well, a lot of folks want to go at that Adrian Paul.
they sure do.
A lot of folks want to go at that Adrian Paul.
And I got to tell you, when I first read that, I was like, well, Conan's not immortal, but nope. I hate to break it to you. He's fucking Arnold.
Brute strength alone.
I mean, come on.
He gets it in the beginning of the match, no doubt. Brute strength alone.
Yeah, but he doesn't win the final match.
Yeah, but Conan doesn't go for the head either.
Now, let me ask you this. He's a big guy, and he was always kind of slow with that sword. He struck me as the kind of guy, even in the comics, if you read those old Conan Marvel comics, he seemed like he would get winded pretty fast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he'd go big, berserker barrage, expend all his energy in the first 30 minutes. And then he always needed like a Red Sony or somebody like to back him up if it was too many. You know what I mean? He could take on like scores of dudes, but then he would get tired. And I feel like he might get tired fighting a Highlander.
Right.
But at the same time, he's fucking Arnold.
Because that Adrian Paul has footwork.
Adrian Paul has footwork.
Yeah. Conan never came across anybody with footwork.
Let's do it. Let's raise the bar too. They're not fighting in Conan's time frame. Conan has somehow been whipped into the future, the 80s or 90s, and they're fighting in a parking garage, just like at the beginning of Highlander.
They're definitely in 1992. Yes.
Yeah, for 100%. And they've been sword fighting for hundreds of years, so they know the tricks of the trade, and they're familiar with their surroundings. They always mind their surroundings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know.
Let's give Conan a little advantage here. Let's say he prays to Crumb. In the middle of the match, Crumb grants him some type of power.
Some type of what? Like a laser's out of his eyes or some shit?
I don't know. Maybe additional strength, speed, or something. He prays to Crumb. It gives him something.
How about this? When he crouches with his sword, he can generate electricity all around his body like Blanca.
Let's give him something. Let's give him something.
Yeah, you need something to offset that footwork. You're right.
Or just out the blue. He has Mako by his side.
Ooh, Mako.
But we give Conan a wizard then.
Okay. All right. Give him a wizard.
We give Conan a wizard.
Give Conan a wizard. A little wizard, a little imp on his shoulder.
Because you gotta think about it. Conan traveled with a crew. Duncan MacLeod and Connor MacLeod are loners.
They are loners. Now we're bringing in sidekicks. This is gonna get messy.
So now if we go ahead and say sidekicks, we give him Mako and we give him Grace Jones.
Oh God.
And if it comes down to it, then fucking Will Chamberlain just busts out of a wall. And I think that's it for Highlander.
See, now this is going off the rails. And by the way, I don't care if you AI'd CGI'd all this bullshit. I would pay to see this in a movie theater.
You want to see Will Chamberlain just bust through the wall.
Just fucking like, all right, dude, just take all that Disney Plus MCU money to de-age these motherfuckers. Just have so their faces are there. Get stuntmen to do the body work. And I'm there. I'm there for it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. At Me J. Clark had another one. Neo versus Lawnmower Man. I thought this one would be close to your heart.
I'm not too familiar with Lawnmower Man.
I'm not either. I was hoping you were. That was the virtual reality one, remember?
Yeah, but I never watched it all the way through.
So I think in I think I've said this before in this podcast at some point, the short story by Stephen King originally is a guy who starts eating the grass. They call him the Lawnmower Man. And then some crazy shit happens. But in the movie adaptation, they straight up like, I think they were just, the studio was trying to play with that new technology. They just made Jeff Fahey's character like, he became part of the virtual reality itself, all around Pierce Brosnan's reality. So he was kind of like his own Matrix. So I think that's the appeal of this matchup, is that it's almost like the Matrix itself fighting Neo.
Yeah, but not too familiar, so I don't know. I can't give.
I can't either.
I can't give a good answer.
All right, we'll just table that. We'll table that. Email us at comiccons@gmail.com if anybody
Sorry,
else has
Jay. It. Sorry, Jay. I got to run through Lawnmower Man. We got to run through Lawnmower Man.
Apparently. I mean, but Neo's Neo. I feel like it doesn't matter if he's trapped in a Matrix or any kind of virtual reality.
I mean, if any system he's in, he is the anomaly. So, you know.
It's a wrap.
He breaks the system. He breaks the rules, the permissions.
And while that Rage Against the Machine song is playing.
Yeah.
And let's be real. We're talking about the 98 Neo. We're not talking about that 2020 something Neo, right?
Definitely not. Definitely not. Not the one that was riding on the back of the bike.
Okay. At Boof Rady 1. He says Shuler versus Powell. All universes, folks.
All universes.
Apparently, we're going into reality.
We got to think about this now. Are we talking about a straight up oil match, or we're talking about longevity match here?
I'm not sure what to take from this.
I mean, the only verses that me and him could do, we have to do a straight up gangbang.
Ah, to see who could gangbang the most.
Gangbang the most. White
or
women.
Or the long.
And I think Shula would agree. I think the Winter Shula would agree with that.
Wait, because we're not talking about an actual fist fight. We're not going to go to fisticuffs.
No.
So we gotta, like, what is the match? The match would be.
It's a gangbang.
How many flat packs?
Right. It's a gangbang.
Interesting.
And I'm talking about the good old Howard Stern days, gangbang type. Yeah.
I will add this, though. You don't discriminate. And he certainly does have a certain proclivity and a certain taste.
Oh.
So you might win. Because you would not, you know, everyone would be allowed. Everyone would be.
I have a diversified portfolio.
You sure do. And I was going to say something, but we're just going to leave that one alone. And I don't think Shuler does.
Oh,
I think he likes that one flavor out of all those 31 flavors at Baskin Robbins.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you might win. You might win that match.
All right.
Yeah. All right. That's my feeling. I mean, anyone else can weigh in here.
The follow up with the Winter Shuler.
All right. Winter Shuler, weigh in on this one. Okay. Yeah. At me, Jay Clark. I told you had a lot. Darkman versus the Crow.
That's a good one.
It is a good one, right? Because, I mean, think about it. Think about it for a second. They both, in a way, came back from the dead. More directly, I mean, more directly, the crow did versus the right. Crow can see things though with his bird,
right?
But Darkman doesn't feel pain and has slightly enhanced strength.
Okay, now you're talking. Okay,
so and we're talking Liam Neeson, Darkman.
And why is there anybody else?
That there's that there, you know who it is. It's that other guy. It's that other guy.
So with Brandon Lee, you got fighting style.
You really do. You really do.
I don't remember Liam Neeson really going all out fighting.
He had some
good strength. So I don't remember just doing. Yeah, he was a brawler.
He was more of a brawler.
Yeah. That crow was invincible, right?
I feel like he got
shot, right?
Yeah, I mean,
a lot. And he didn't come back.
He definitely did. And he was doing flips and shit on the tables and while the music and he's doing flips on the table. The crow can see things from like miles away, and I think he sees it through the crow.
That dark man is smart. I think dark man would know to catch that crow.
I feel he's
eliminated.
Peyton is a scientist at the end of the day.
He's a scientist, right.
He can make masks to maybe trick the crow,
mm-hmm.
right, into thinking he wasn't the guy he was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the last second, boom, gotcha, bitch, you know?
That's it.
You know? Fire it up.
His time just ended. Wasn't that it? His time just ended. So that's why he had to go back to the grave.
Once he completed his quest for vengeance, he went back to the grave in the movie.
Right.
I don't know what happened in the comics. The comics, I think they just kept going. Mm. I think he kept coming back to avenge people.
Hmm.
And then they made like three more sequels to the movie with different crows.
Yeah. That I didn't watch.
No, I didn't watch. I think I watched the second one.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm gonna go with Darkman.
You're gonna go with Darkman.
I think science will triumph.
You think he can blind the crow with science?
Yes.
Okay. I got to go with that Brandon Lee, man.
You like that?
I like that.
Because it would be never ending, right?
I feel like it would be never ending, yeah.
Because you could get rid of Darkman, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we know he can't feel pain. He's got some enhanced strength, but he's got a weakness too. You know, he loves, what was her name?
I forgot her name, yeah.
Frances McDormand.
Yeah, that was his weakness, yeah.
Server! Got her name. But I guess Brandon had a, I mean, I guess Eric Draven had a weakness too. He befriended that teenage girl, you know. Ernie Hudson was a mentor, you know. Yeah. Kind of, sort of. Yeah, but that's a good one, isn't it?
Yeah, not bad.
That is a good one.
I wouldn't have thought about that.
I wouldn't have either. I got a few more here.
Can I throw in one more?
Yeah, please.
All right. You know how I love teenage sex crimes. So.
Okay. Just when we were going full nerd, you gotta take us off the beaten path.
I'm bringing it back. My verses with my Badness Son verses goes Olivia Benson versus Lufa.
Olivia Benson. Who the fuck is Olivia Benson?
From SVU.
Right? The hot one with short hair?
No, you know, she's the old one. You know, she's been on the show for
old girl.
Mariska Hargitay.
Mariska, yeah. She's not hot anymore.
She's old.
Not
she looks good for her age. I give her that. She looks good for her age. And after 20 some seasons of, you know, sex crimes, you know, she's still solving crimes. Whereas, you know, Luther. Have you seen, were you ever into Luther with
Love Luther. I'm a little disappointed I haven't seen the movie, but I watched the show.
And he had some good arcs too.
Luther, so it's funny, I love that Idris, and that was the first thing. Well, no, I guess I saw him as Stringer Bell first, but Luther was the first thing I saw him like since The Wire for a long time. And I remember his whole attire, he'd always roll up on the scene with like the perfect, like the tie would be like off center,
right?
But not too sly. It was just perfect, like just dangling. Like, look, I just rolled out of bed in this shirt and tie, you know, but not quite hungover, but just kind of like up all night solving a case, you know. Mm-hmm. And that Luther, I can't. I gotta stick with him. I gotta stick with Idris on
like
this
that loofah.
I love that loofah.
I don't know. I gotta go with that. That Olivia Benson.
You're only supposed to blow the bloody doors off.
She never stops until she gets, you know, never. until she brings justice to the young woman.
But doesn't she do the drilling and the questions, and then her man, what is it, Christopher Maloney?
Right.
Christopher Maloney comes in.
Lufa got good interrogation skills.
He's got great interrogation skills. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. But and Lufa doesn't carry a gun.
That's right. He doesn't. Right. That's right.
Right.
So it's not even about which one could battle each other. It's a race to see who could solve the case first.
Who's going
to
solve the case first?
Who's going to gangbang and who's going to solve the case first? See, this is what I'm talking about. We get creative on this show, folks. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you noticed that or not, but we get a little creative. We're not all about the fisticuffs on this show, you know?
Not all about it. Not all about it.
I got to say, it's a hell of a matchup.
So you're going to go with that loofah?
I got to go with that loofah.
Okay. That's not bad. Because he solves it in his head first.
Right.
He sees it already.
Now, if you throw Sherlock Holmes in the mix, then it's a wrap. Like, sorry, folks. That Robert Downey Sherlock Holmes, you throw him in the mix, it's a wrap. Because then he's got fisticuffs and wits.
I'll take your Robert Downey and I'll give you that new Poirot.
Which one?
That new Poirot.
Which one? Am I missing something? Is there another Sherlock?
No, it's another Poirot. You know, the new movie that's coming out. Actually, tomorrow. What is it? With,
and the ghosts and shit.
Right.
One.
But, you know, the detective is a Poirot.
Yeah, because isn't it like the same?
Like a Death on the Nile.
The Nile guy, yeah.
Because he's kind of the genesis to Daniel Craig's Knives Out guy.
Oh God, what was his name again? He had a great name.
Yeah.
He has a great name. Agatha Christie. You're right. He would be, you know, but then you throw Knives Out in there and you have a trifecta. You like that? Then like you have
that Benoit Blanc.
That Benoit Blanc. Benoit Blanc. And that Kentucky Fried accent of his.
All right. You like that?
God damn. So good. I'll say.
All right. And a little Ana de Armas. Yes. That first Knives Out, it was solid.
It was so solid. Glass Onion was, I still like Glass Onion, but Knives Out was.
That first one. Yeah.
Knives Out was just spectacular.
I didn't see Captain America coming out like that.
Seeing Chris Evans as a shithead that he was in that movie was so good. When you see people playing against type, you know, because he's good at that, right? Like he's always kind of the likable guy, you know. And then you see him.
He was good in Gray Man.
He was great in Gray Man. And how about that fight in that fountain with Gosling and Evans?
I need more of that. But then again, that's what you get with the Russo brothers.
That's what you get with the Russo brothers.
That's what you get.
You get that action.
Right.
Even Ana de Armas fucking going through the fucking courtyard blowing shit up.
Oh,
man. That's a hell of a movie. And that's what we're here to talk about. That's good, man. I'm going to stick to my guns. I'm going to stick with Sherlock. Downey Sherlock.
All right. Yeah, okay.
For solving the case. I mean, you really, those two Guy Ritchie Sherlock movies are really something else.
You want to see him finish that out, huh?
I really think I think it's long overdue.
I feel like it was wasted on Dr. Doolittle. I think that was the time to bring out one more Sherlock.
It really was wasted on Dr. Doolittle, wasn't it? It's like he died in the Marvel universe and he's like, I'll do Dr. Doolittle.
Right. I feel like that was the perfect opportunity to come through with Sherlock 3.
Right. Him and Jude Law were great together.
Right. But then he turned it over to Hank Cavill.
Gave it over to Hank. And who gives a fuck about that?
Who gives a fuck?
Who gives a fuck about Enola? You know?
That second one was Nick. That first one was pretty good, though.
That first one's really good. Second one had its moments, but the first one's terrific. Terrific. At In Your Tremend, Howard the Duck, Rocket Raccoon. First of all, Howard the Duck versus Detective Chimp, and then Rocket Raccoon versus Kilowog Green Lantern. Howard the Duck versus Detective Chimp. I don't know if you folks are immersed in the DC universe, but Detective Chimp is essentially a chimp solves mysteries. We might as well have rolled Detective Chimp in with our detective.
Yeah, that's what we should have did then with that one. Yeah. Because Detective Chimp kind of competes with Batman sometimes too, as far as being a great detective.
Absolutely. He helps.
Folks don't know that shit. Yeah.
And he was in the Justice League Dark. He helped out Swamp Thing and Wonder Woman and Zatanna. And Man Bat was part of that lineup too. No big deal. Howard the Duck, though, Howard the Duck's a private investigator, but I don't know how great of an investigator he is.
We never went too far in the movie to see how good he was.
We don't even know what he did in the movie. As far as we're concerned, he was just sitting on his recliner. But in the comics, he
That's
was
all
like
I remember. Yeah.
Right. And all I know is that Girl from Back to the Future was all about taking him home that first night.
Marty McFly's mom.
Yeah, was it Leah Thompson?
Yeah.
But so I got to say I'm in an impasse with that because I don't really know.
I'm going with Detective Chimp because if you could go heads up with Bruce Wayne on solving a crime, you're pretty good in my eyes.
Pretty good in okay. What about Rocket Raccoon and Kilowog?
You got a fucking green ring, dog. I don't see what a raccoon can do with
you
that.
You can literally manifest anything with sheer willpower.
Right.
You know?
Right. I don't see that, you know.
You don't think that Rocket could maybe build a gadget that could like circumvent any of those?
Because how fast is Rocket to build something versus Kilowog's will to just make anything in a split second?
Rocket has gadgets for days. He might have stuff that can keep him on his toes for a few minutes.
And I mean a full on berserk Kilowog. Yeah.
Damn.
At the end of the day, Kilowog could take him into space and just leave him there.
You're so right, but I'm still going with Rocket out of sheer loyalty. Mm. Out of sheer loyalty to the character. But you're so right. I mean, any Green Lantern. Never almost any Green Lantern. I mean, come on.
Never bet against a lantern.
Now, let me ask you this. You give a Green Lantern to any character. You can pick any universe.
Ah.
And make that person like the most, like any universe. Give a Green Lantern to any person, any universe. Who do you give it to?
A ring.
Yeah.
Any universe, huh?
Yeah, any universe, and you can't waste it on somebody like RoboCop. I don't think RoboCop would.
I wouldn't give it. that would be no good.
You can't give it to a Terminator. I don't think Terminator would know.
Give it to a Terminator. Okay.
It has to be human, or something.
Humanoid,
or humanoid.
Okay,
because remember, willpower.
And I can't give it to Jor-El's son. I can't give it to him.
I've always wondered what a Superman, have they done that? Where Superman has a lantern? It's been done?
It's been done.
Because I know Batman had the lantern. He turned into a white lantern. That shit was insane.
Yeah.
And then Blackest Night, he had it too, right?
Huh?
Didn't he have it in Blackest Night also?
Yeah.
So somebody outside the DC universe. Let's just play.
And outside of Marvel, huh?
Well, you know, you could feel free to.
Oh, you want me to give it to somebody in Marvel?
Well, I want you to look at these X-Men cards.
I give it to Apocalypse.
God, and the whole world instantly ends within 20 minutes. Within 20 minutes. There it is.
I give a lantern to Apocalypse.
That's such an interesting idea.
I still feel like it's motherfuckers in the universe that could test him, though.
Well, think about it. Imagine a lantern just floating through space. It goes into the Marvel universe. That, like any enemy that could seem like completely unbeatable in the Marvel universe, you could fuck them up with a Green Lantern.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like Magneto could be like, I control metals. Like, congratulations, I got a fucking lantern. Like, I'll see you in hell.
Mm-hmm.
Galactus, oh, you're big. Cool, you're in this world. I got a fucking lantern. I'll see you in hell. Like, I feel like the only way to stop a Green Lantern is essentially a Yellow Lantern.
Or you can just get Gollum to bite off the ring finger.
Okay, now we're talking Green Lanterns on Middle Earth.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Now we're back to it.
Gandalf the Grey himself gets a lantern. It's over, folks. It's over. And then Soren gets a yellow ring.
And then there you go. You got Gandalf the White versus the master of the mystic arts, Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange, but Gandalf has a lantern.
We give Gandalf.
He becomes Gandalf the Green.
Gandalf the Green.
Oh, I'm already hard.
All right.
Ian McKellen Gandalf, by the way, we're not fucking around.
Yes, yes. And when he puts on the ring, his hair it goes in a ponytail.
It does.
It's the mask on his face.
It does.
Yeah.
And
he keeps the robes.
The robes just turn green.
Yeah, that's the robes just turn green.
He doesn't get like a costume like Hal Jordan. Like, he just, no. Yeah. And his eyes are green.
And his eyes are definitely green.
Right.
And we're fighting Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange. It'll be it.
Let's not fuck with Doctor Strange. Let's give Doctor Strange something then.
I was going to say it would have been a hell of a battle.
Let's give Doctor Strange Fate's helmet.
Doctor Strange with Fate's helmet. Good God. Good God. Master of the mystic arts.
And the power of Naboo.
And the power of Naboo. We're going full ham. Anybody
that's a fight.
Anybody that's not immersed in this shit has left the building.
That's a fight.
That is a fight. I wish I could draw because I would just love to see that illustrated. Send it into the studios.
It's Strange with the Fate helmet.
Oh my God. Warner Brothers, Disney, and New Line all team up. Come on now.
Like what does Gandalf bring? Gandalf recreates half the orc army anyway.
Would he or would he go straight up like, you know, knights? Dead knights, dead armies, alive armies, everything. Riders of Rohan.
And he grows up to that giant size the way Sauron was in Fellowship.
You're goddamn right.
So goddamn huge.
You're goddamn right, like Super Shredder size.
Yeah, there you go.
And then on top of that, he gets a Balrog, a green Balrog.
And the Balrog is fighting with him. Yes.
You fools. And no, it's great. Right. It's fantastic. I, as much as I love Doctor Strange, I feel like even with Naboo's helmet,
it's not enough.
You got a magician with a fucking Green Lantern ring, so he still use his staff, mm-hmm. right, to conjure right. bright lights or whatever the fuck he conjures, and use the green. He can summon giant.
Take it back. Let's rewind it.
Taking it back. No, I was just
no.
I was about to.
No. Let's rewind it. Just one second.
Okay.
So I gave Strange the fate thing. So you gave
Gandalf a ring.
Gandalf the a lantern ring. Who has the ring of power at this point?
Well, we're taking that out of the equation because that's going to get.
You want to take it out?
Oh, is somebody else coming into the battle? We're making that trifecta. Okay, Sinestro comes in with the Ring of Power.
No. I don't want a comic character. I don't want a comic character.
Okay.
I don't want a comic character. Who comes in with the Ring of Power?
Not a comic character.
Not a comic character.
Not
but
a cartoon.
Still,
not a,
but still not, wizard. But still wizard.
Oh, a wizard. Orko. Orko from He-Man. Orko comes in with the Ring of Power. No, not Orko. Let's do the Wicked Witch of the West. Fuck it. She comes in with the Ring of Power. On her broom with all those flying monkeys.
You give her the Ring of Power. She has the wraiths with her.
Yes.
On their flying serpents.
They're flying serpents with the and the monkeys with the wings are right behind.
And she has all of the orc army and the Uruk-hai.
And the Uruk-hai.
And for some reason, Smaug comes out one of the volcanoes.
And
talking about a royale now.
And riding Smaug on top of Smaug is none other than Scarlet Witch, and she's in full battle armor.
Oh, so now we got a double team.
But it's Dark Scarlet Witch. I feel like we've done this before. It's something about Lord of the Rings. Once we start
it's just an open field to fight.
It's always an open field. I always want to take all the toys out of the toy box and just throw them in there. Like, I don't care. What happens?
And for some reason, as Scarlet Witch is flying on Smaug, for some reason we look in the clouds, and through the clouds, we see a hand come through the clouds.
Oh no!
It opens up.
Oh no!
And it's fucking Galactus holding the Fantastic Four as he releases them.
And then we see a green glow, and we realize all members of the Fantastic Four also have Green Lantern rings.
They have rings.
The Human Torch is now the Green Flame.
Fuck that. Give them red rings. I want them to have
red rings. They're angry. They're angry, huh?
They're angry.
Sue Storm is so angry that her tits are just popping out of her invisible shirt.
Right.
Reed Richards is stretching, but he's angry stretching.
Yeah.
Ben Grimm he's red.
How about that thing? Yeah, he's all red now.
He's just all red.
Like it's like a rocky mountain, Ben Grimm.
That would be something else.
There you go.
Got
an open field to fight.
Because all you can do is just keep adding more people into the mix. Mm-hmm. Or mm-hmm. things, or creatures, you know, goblins, ghouls. Oh, that's good. That's really good.
That got my heart pumping for a little.
I know, it got me really excited for something like it's about to happen. Meet Jay Clark. He had one more. He said, "Punisher versus V for Vendetta." So Frank Castle versus V.
Well, Frank Castle.
All day, right?
All the time, Frank Castle.
His
arsenal is just—it's too much.
He's tactical. I would argue probably more tactical than V.
Yeah.
You know, V had like the underground tunnels in London, and he knew what was going on, and he could throw some knives like the best of them, but
that Frank Castle, he comes fully loaded every time.
What version of Frank Castle are we doing? Thomas Jane, Dolph Lundgren, Ray Stevenson. You know, I always want to bring back that Dolph Lundgren.
You know, I'm a Thomas Jane man.
You like that Thomas Jane. All right.
Maria!
That one's pretty straightforward. And then we have Mongo _ Frappuccino. He said, "Gay activists versus pro-life supporters." This is a very interesting battle because I have to imagine that the pro-life supporters are simply pissed about abortions.
Mm-hmm.
Those same pro-life supporters probably don't like gay marriages either.
I'm sure they don't.
Which is ironic because gay people don't have abortions.
Right. They're all in the Bible Belt.
So who's going to win? Do we call it?
I'm going with those gay activists all the time.
I mean, they do have parades.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Very successful parades.
You take that Legion.
Right. And you give them some Green Lantern rings.
There you go.
And they make giant fucking.
We give them the Star Sapphire rings because they're all love.
Oh, they're all love, baby.
All love.
It's gonna look like that Herogasm tour.
Yeah.
Everybody's fucking.
What are the rings again? Green is will.
Green is will. Yellow is fear.
Yeah. Red is rage.
Yeah. Orange is. I don't remember what orange is.
And then there's blue.
What is blue? I can't remember what blue is.
And then there's pink for love.
Mm-hmm. That Carol Ferris, when she got in that outfit for that Star Sapphire.
There's the Blue Lantern Corps.
Oh, it's great. It's great.
Did you catch the Blue Lantern? They're hope.
Oh, they are hope. Okay.
There you go.
What are you searching for, Charles? What are you searching for? That's all we had from the Comic-Consies, and I didn't have any matchups myself, really. Hold on, let me see. Did I write anything down? Might have wrote something down potentially. What I got? Oh yeah, I got nothing.
You didn't? Well, I'll throw you one if you mess with it. How about that Blade versus Shredder?
You did throw that in the chat. I did fucking love that. I mean, look, Shredder. Are we talking Super Shredder or regular old Shredder?
I'm talking about regular Shredder. A regular Shredder is a motherfucking ninja.
I want that 1990s rooftop movie Shredder.
I don't want that motherfucker. I want that motherfucker that was in, what's that, the 2012 cartoon version of Ninja Turtles?
Oh, yeah, that was dope.
That motherfucker was tough.
He was tough. Yeah. But against Blade? Blade's fights, he's a vampire and he fights vampires.
But Shredder ain't a vampire.
He's got moves for days.
But remember, Shredder is a goddamn ninja. The only thing that could beat the Shredder is a fucking rat.
Yeah, or four turtles.
Or four goddamn turtles. Other than that, if you go one-on-one with the Shredder, you're going to lose.
Shredder's got a sword, too.
No, you know, he has those blades. Those gauntlets. Those gauntlets, you know.
And that's all he's fighting Blade with while Blade's...
And fuck it, he has Mandalorian armor. You know?
Okay, we give him Beskar. Okay, now we're talking.
Beskar steel.
We give him...
You know, think about it. A few blows to Blade, and Blade goes weak without some blood.
Yeah, but also, you're not going to kill him by just stabbing him. Like, he's going to hurt, but you have to... I would imagine you got to kill Blade with... No, he doesn't even have the same weaknesses as vampires. That's the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I think you can kill Blade like a regular person, can't you?
You bleed him out. That's it.
That's it. Yeah. But you can't kill him with a stake.
Remember when Frost put his ass in that goddamn tomb? Bleeding his ass out.
He was bleeding his ass out.
Yeah.
And then he had to get some blood.
And he had to, you know, take a bite out of her neck. I like the way she was screaming.
He sure did.
Yeah.
He sure did. That's good.
And then he screamed, Well,
I'll raise you. Let's say he decimates Blade, right? And the next champion has to come in. And it's none other than Uma Thurman herself from Kill Bill. Squaring up against the
Shredder. No chance. No chance against the Shredder.
Right?
Unless she brings in 4 month teenage turtles. Unless she brings in 4 teenage turtles, nothing is going to beat that Shredder.
You don't think that Beatrice Kiddo herself, who trained with Pai Mei, can defeat Shredder with a fucking sword?
Do you think
she fought all her way to Bill himself? I think you're forgetting how much of a badass she is with that sword.
I think you forget that the
Huntoro Hanzu.
I think you forget that the Fresh Prince's dad voiced Shredder. That's how tough that motherfucker was.
Now you listen here.
You forget that James Avery had that voice in the 90s.
I mean, voice or no voice, you got Uma Thurman in that yellow jumpsuit.
I'm going with the Shredder. The Shredder was a fucking samurai.
She diced up ninjas left and right.
That's the crazy 88 that had no skill.
They had skill.
Like, Shredder has the same skill that Bill has.
You think the Shredder could have taken on the crazy 88s himself too?
Well, no problem.
Dude, okay, first of all, we have to stop. Imagine you sit down in a movie theater, you think you're getting about to watch Kill Bill. Crazy 88s come in that scene, but Uma Thurman's nowhere to be found. And then all of a sudden Shredder walks in there.
The Shredder.
With that purple cape.
Yeah.
How fucking hard are you in that theater when you see Shredder roll?
I'm already naked. I came in naked. Because the movie's going to make love to me.
Dude, the Shredder, just put Shredder in the Kill Bill universe. And the movie, it's not two movies anymore. It's just like...
He's the final villain. She's not looking for Bill anymore.
See, that's why I like that movie, Shredder, with that music. Boom, 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 boom. I had that soundtrack on tape cassette. Man.
Like, she's not putting that five-finger death punch on him.
She'd have to get past the armor first, I guess.
All that armor?
But if she got him in bed and tricked him,
all that Mandalorian steel he's wearing?
Yeah, he's got the Beskar. Yeah, that's right. I keep forgetting he's got Beskar. That Hunter.
He has those shoulder pads.
Those spiky shoulder pads.
That motherfucker is spiky as fuck.
But hold on.
Hanzu
Katananata can't cut through Beskar.
It can't cut through Shredder steel. Can't.
Oh yeah, because a lightsaber can't even cut through Beskar, can it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it fucks it up, but it doesn't.
It bounces.
Does it bounce? I thought it dents it a little. I thought it burns us, but it doesn't.
It just bounces off.
This is getting very interesting. Okay.
Bring me somebody that could beat the Shredder.
I'm going through my Rolodex. This is how we're going to close the show. Somebody with a sword, obviously. Does it have to be a guy with sword play?
I need somebody that can sword play and that, you know, has some martial arts skill. Like, Shredder is complete.
All right,
he's
Logan.
Hell on fire. If it's not for that rat and them four turtles.
Wolverine versus Shredder. Now, you can't tell me that's not a good fight.
Of all motherfuckers, you want to bring this. That's cheating. You got no choice.
No, but here lies the question. Can adamantium cut through Beskar?
It can cut through anything.
But we're still in the crazy 88's house. Now, everyone's been defeated. Shredder's at the top of the stairs. Maybe he's got a couple of vixens on his, you know, at his feet, you know, doing sexual favors, because that's what they do in Japan. Mm-hmm. And then enters Logan, you know, mm-hmm. and he's looking for Yokiya, Yoriko.
In his costume or not his costume?
Brown costume, baby.
But brown the mask, costume. But the, we're but not talking. We're not. You're not talking about from the Wolverine movie. You're talking about comic costume.
Brown costume, but it's cinematic. It's Hugh Jackman, and the cowl is off. The cowl is hanging off.
Cowl is off.
And he's got some blood on him because he had to cut through some folks himself. And he's ready. And he's like, hey, bub. You know? He says, hey, bub, the Shredder. And Shredder's like, you dog. I will kill you like the dog that you are in the streets. There you Engage. Go. I'm the best at what I do, but what I do isn't very nice. Snick, snick, berserker barrage. And he runs up the stairs. They're flying. Cue the music.
Because they always do that with Wolverine. They act like, you know, they say adamantium is the strongest shit in the world, but it's always one motherfucker that they bring out some steel and it ends up, you know, holding up against Wolverine's claws for some goddamn reason.
Because you got to have some kind of resistance.
Otherwise, there's got to be some kind of resistance.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
Because if you just let it be for what it is, Wolverine cuts through anything and the fight is over.
I mean, he's fighting Sabretooth on top of Statue of Liberty, cutting through the fucking Statue of Liberty's, you know, crown.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, and that's solid steel, you know? And
I go with Wolverine every time.
Every time. Got to, right? But Logan is the only one I can think of that would beat the Shredder then.
If can't think of nobody else, huh?
If we're not bringing Splinter and his four turtles into the mix, then that's it. Because I don't even know if Batman could defeat Shredder.
I think Batman could beat the Shredder. I think Batman could beat
him. If he had a sword.
Now is...
Because remember, Shredder's got a Beskar guard now.
But so here we go. So I think Batman could beat him, but if we say that... that Shredder does have Mandalorian steel, and he's for some reason has the power of Ra's al Ghul as well. I think Batman loses.
Oh, interesting.
He has the power. If Shredder has the power of the demon, then yeah,
Shredder. Batman. Shredder died after Beatrix Kiddo killed him. Then he went into the Lazarus Pit. He came out stronger than ever.
Yeah, he's Shredder al Ghul at this point.
He's Shredder al Ghul, and he's supersized too.
Right.
And Batman's in some trouble.
Yeah, Batman loses because Batman can't beat Ra's al Ghul.
I mean, he let him die.
Hand to hand. Bruce Wayne cannot beat Ra's al Ghul.
But he never learned to mind his surroundings. That's what we're saying.
Yeah, we're saying Shredder al Ghul beats.
Shredder al Ghul beats Batman. Yeah. But Shredder in Beskar. Without race,
yeah, Batman went.
Or Ra's al Ghul is defeated instantly.
Yeah.
Okay, by Wolverine.
Yeah, and Batman.
Wolverine versus Batman, it's a wrap, right?
Yeah, Batman figures that out quick.
He figures it out.
He'll get some magnet. He go get some magnet.
Can you ever beat Batman at anything? You can't, can you?
Can't. You can't.
He's one step ahead of
him. And that's the genius of Batman. That's the genius of. Because as much as the writers and comic and all comicdom put more power into Superman, that's the same thing they do to Batman.
They do. They always give him that last laugh, that last right. ace up his sleeve, whatever it be.
He will always have that.
That's the Batman we love and we cherish.
Right. That's how come you can put him against a Darth Vader.
I mean, he did go up against Darkseid.
Yeah.
And he defeated Darkseid with a battle of wits.
Yeah.
By just outsmarting him. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Superman would have just gone in there swinging, you know? Yeah.
Straight punching.
Have we not given enough love to the ladies? Should we throw in a couple cat fights out there?
Well, I threw in one lady. I don't know what else you got.
I threw in Beatrix Kiddo, but I mean, I don't know. Not really sure where else to go from here. You know, is there Is there a pairing worth taking, like Wonder Woman? Let's say, what if we got? What about Mrs. Doubtfire versus RuPaul? No, I got nothing. He's thinking, folks.
Not right off the top. It's hard to think of. So like the only follow up I had to that was Maverick versus an old boy from Iron Eagle. Who's the best pilot?
Oh, interesting. Interesting. And they made four Iron Eagles.
They made four Iron Eagles. Yeah, or Doc Holliday versus Jonah Hex.
Oh, that's great. What the fuck? It's got to be Doc. If it's Val Kilmer, it's got to be Doc.
If it's Val Kilmer, then yeah, he beats that.
He beats that Roland Hex any day of the week.
Mm-hmm. That Jonah Hex, it didn't get a lot of love, but I liked it. I liked it for what it was.
It's pretty hard. It's a hard watch.
It's a hard watch, but I liked his Jonah Hex.
For what it was when it came out.
Yeah.
What about
it was a good Jonah Hex. That was an interesting time to bring that shit out, though.
That early 2000s, man.
Like,
that early 2000s.
You see how Aquaman is getting all this shit right now.
I know.
Yeah, but that Jonah Hex, it rolled out.
Maybe we need to go through it for the show.
And it wasn't tied to anything. It wasn't tied to anything.
No, it wasn't cinematic at all. They just made it to make it.
Right.
Like that Halle Berry Catwoman. It was around that same time.
Yeah. That was interesting. Yeah.
DC was trying to be like, we have movies too. No, not so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got it. Atomic Blonde, Blonde, Charlize Theron herself versus Black Widow. ScarJo and Charlize going at it. Both, let's just say they're both in their prime. So whatever era Atomic Blonde was, I think she was in the 80s. Let's put Black Widow in the 80s and just pretend that Black Widow's old enough to be, you know what I'm saying? Because I think she would have been like in the ballerina school still.
Which Black Widow? Which Black Widow? We talking
ScarJo.
About from her own movie, Black Widow. We're talking about Endgame. Infinity War, Black Widow.
It can be young Black Widow. It can be from Iron Man, Black Widow. You know,
I think Atomic Blonde comes through with that one.
You think so, huh?
Yeah, that Infinity War Black Widow was badass.
Oh, interesting. So she was more of a skilled fighter by the time she got to Infinity War.
Yeah, I think so. Because she was giving it to my girl in the streets.
Mm, she sure was. Proxima.
That Proxima, you know. Mm.
I mean, she does have blood to spare.
Oh, man. I miss that voice.
I got to say, you know what? I'm going to go with Atomic Blonde, too. Just because I fucking love Atomic Blonde.
Yeah.
And that stairwell scene to this day still gets a rewatch. I go through that stairwell scene in Atomic Blonde at least once a month.
Mm-hmm. Cause that was vicious.
Oh, yeah. So vicious.
Vicious. Whew.
She took on all those dudes. We needed something like that in that Black Widow movie, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why couldn't we get something like that?
But didn't we get that towards the end when she went back to the cottage or what? Not the cottage. I mean the school.
She took out some. She took out a bunch of other Black Widows, and that was cool. But I mean, in terms of like the gravity of it, like in that scene in the stair, she goes up the building, there's no music, and she's just, you know, she's getting it and getting it and getting shot, you know, bleeding.
It's just not enough blood and gore in Marvel.
I guess it always goes back to that. We got that Florence Pugh, though. You know, we got that White Widow. And that leads me to whatever we said on this show, kids, whether it rattled your Christian beliefs and your sensibilities. Just remember, at the end of the day, it's just fiction, okay? It's just fucking fiction. Thanks to everyone who wrote in with your picks. Yes, sir. Oh, there it is, Jennifer Aniston. It's just Jennifer Aniston. That's all it is. And until the next morning show, we bid you a fond farewell as the sun rises slowly in the west. Right?
Take care.
Take care, America.
Take care. I think it settles in the west. I think it rises in the east. Mm-hmm. The sun may rise in the east, but at least it settles in the final location. Right?
California.
Fuck me in my brain! Fuck me in my brain!